Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
It's not inaccurate to say that Gary Smith is a sports writer. It's just incomplete. Whether Smith is writing about the world's most famous female soccer player, a baseball player whose tragic past sabotaged his professional career, or the unlikely adventures of a team of young, poor African-American polo players, his subject is what it's like to be alive on the planet. Readers who come to Smith's work because they like sports and athletes find stories more thoughtful and ambitious, more thoroughly crafted than the work of almost anybody else chronicling games and the people who play them and run them and watch them. Going Deep collects 20 of the stories Gary Smith has published in Sports Illustrated. When I had the opportunity to talk with him recently, I asked the author how he went about deciding which of his many stories should be collected in the book.
Well, that was a lot of swirling around on that question. I guess it was pretty generally agreed that I should put four stories in there that have won the National Magazine Award for Best Magazine Story of the Year, sports or otherwise. So those four are in there, and then there's three in there that the one that a movie's been made of and two others that movie rights have been bought on. And then beyond that, it was just kind of like, let's find a nice mix of the known and the unknown, and sometimes the known is actually unknown, as I seem to have found out through many years of doing this. But some stories are about celebrities and others about people you never would have imagined meeting and kind of just going off down a whole other pathway with them and finding out some pretty surprising things.
In 1996, Sports Illustrated published your story about Richie Parker, high school student who assaulted a 16-year-old girl. Many people who knew Richie Parker were shocked that he had done it. He had been regarded as not only a top-flight college basketball prospect, but as a quiet and well-behaved young man. Was that an especially difficult story to tell?
Really complicated. It just kept spiraling and spiraling, and it was so complicated that it just kind of occurred to me, like, let's just take this and go layer by layer by layer, even to the layer of the journalist who was covering it and breaking stories week after week that were causing the colleges who were getting involved and the coaches who were getting involved in trying to recruit him, those coaches to get fired, the colleges to get in deep hot water, and just like what was propelling the reporter, just every aspect of it, just try to take it and peel layer after layer after layer and look at it and just see how these phenomenons get moving, the whole dynamic of a phenomenon like that in this society, in a society that hadn't really come to grips with how to handle this kind of situation and what redemption really means. You know, we love the second chance, but yet we have great misgivings about it, and that story was an attempt to look at the whole ball of wax.
The tension in that story comes from the fact that the people who feel that he should be in prison and should not get a chance to play college basketball because of what he's done, their feelings are precisely as powerful as the people who feel that we have to give people a second chance.
Yeah, it's a classic ethical question to spin around on, and that's what kind of wanted to create a debating table and just feel like everybody was at the table. And there's, you know, valid points of view on all sides. Let's kind of get it out on the table and give society a chance to look at itself, because a lot of this stuff kind of goes on unconsciously. And if you can bring it to consciousness, then maybe we begin to get a little better grip on it.
Do you think that the athletes about whom you write, and I'm thinking now especially of private people like Mia Hamm and Mark Fidrich, do you think that they know what they're in for when they agree to be the subject of a Gary Smith story?
You know, that's a good question. I try to make them aware, and usually they have agents or people around them who have some idea, and I try to make it a consenting adults kind of situation. And so I really try to make clear, there's going to be a lot of detail. I'm going to be, you know, it's very detailed driven. It's going to be, you know, take a lot longer than anything else I'm sure you've ever done. And, you know, if they don't want to sign on, then I'm fine with it. I understand that. Usually, you know, once they're in, enough of a relationship builds up that that they seem to go along for the ride. And, you know, it's hard to say. Yeah, some of them I've had contact with afterwards to know, and others I haven't. So I don't always know. I'm sure it's, you know, it's a strange thing to suddenly have someone looking in that close.
Well, there's a refrain in that story about Mia Hamm. You keep having Mia intrude in the middle of the story and say something like, couldn't this just be a four-page story? Couldn't it just end here? Do you have to really tell that? Do you suppose that Mia Hamm laughed when she read the final draft of The Secret Life of Mia Hamm?
I'm sure she laughed, cringed, it was aghast at times, she chuckled, you know, I can't even imagine what it was like for her to read that. And usually I wouldn't kind of intrude with that kind of thing in the story, but in this case, it was so much a part of the dynamic of my relationship with her and that story and her concern that it felt like to me that it gave the reader an important window into her soul to kind of slide those lines in there.
Is there one particular story in Going Deep that stands out for you because you found out while working on the story stuff that caught you off guard or surprised you?
Andre Agassi, I just was a celebrity that of all the ones I've ever done, I was shocked at the way he jumped into it. First of all, I was shocked he was asking me as many questions as I asked him, and I've never had that happen from a celebrity. Celebrity usually is the answer to all questions in this country. And then once he couldn't figure out what I was kind of about here in this whole thing, and he kept saying, you know, what aspect of the story do you want to write about? And I said, you know, the whole shebang here. He scratched his head for quite a while, but once he finally realized where it was going, he jumped in with both feet, and he wanted to go on the exploration of who he was, you know, just kind of elbow to elbow right there with me. So that was a great experience.
Of course, he already knew that he could cook a great steak, but that was something he had to prove to you.
Andre has proven that over and over and over again to many, many people.
What do you think has determined whether or not you have stayed connected to some of these folks? Tiger Woods, Mia Hamm, Richie Parker, Mark Fidrich, Andre Agassi, Muhammad Ali, and a lot of people whose names won't mean anything to our listeners necessarily. But what determines whether you stay connected to these folks once you've finished with your writing project?
Celebrities generally have so many people in their lives, and it's, you know, it's such a swirl that they're not looking for new friends in the media. So it's much more often. It's been the people like radio and the coach who took radio under his wing, or John Malangoni, the guy who was maybe going to replace Yogi Berra as the next Yankees catcher, who had this incredible family secret that he kept under his lid, an accidental death that he had been involved with when he was 5 years old, and how that boomeranged in his life. John has stayed a friend in touch. People in the little Amish Mennonite town where this African American coach that I wrote about, who took the team to a state title and then died of brain cancer, in that town have stayed in touch. So it's much more often the unknowns who've remained a piece of my life that's been really nice.
I know this is a little bit like asking a parent to pick a favorite child, but in this collection of 20 stories, do you have a favorite yourself?
I think one of my favorites, definitely right up near the top, and also as the element of the character being a dear person who's remained in my life, is the one about John Malangoni. I mean, it's a story about a guy who was 5 years old in an Italian-American neighborhood in East Harlem, and the kids on the block decided to play, you know, make up an Olympics game. And so he threw a javelin that was a broomstick with a spoke from an umbrella tied to it, and it went into the head of his best friend, who happened to be his uncle. And John was 5, and Uncle Orlando was 7, and Uncle Orlando died as a result of it. And John, the family decided to put a lid on it, so John never told a soul, not even his wife, his kids, until he was about 60 years old. And because of that, a guy that you know, would have been an incredible baseball town and tore up the minor leagues would just kept sabotaging himself out of the guilt. And anyway, the story has so many twists and turns beyond the Cliff Note version I'm giving you here that, I mean, if I blew that one, I'd never, you know, be able to forgive myself, because I was continually astonished by the material, the things that John would keep bringing up, like, oh, by the way, like, oh, my God, that happened too.
Gary Smith is the author of Going Deep, 20 Classic Sports Stories, published by Sports Illustrated, and he spoke to me from Charleston, South Carolina. Gary, thank you very much for speaking with me.
It's really been nice. Thanks, Bill.
My conversation with Gary Smith, the author of Going Deep, will be featured in this week's program. I'll also be talking college football with Dan Wetzel, or rather, I'll be listening as Dan discusses the subject. We'll have a story about the NBA's Oklahoma City Thunder. If you don't already know that they are the former Seattle Supersonics, you'd better listen to that one. We'll update baseball's postseason, of course, and relieved of the myriad joys of hosting the program, Karen Given will bring us the story of pickleball. So join us, and remember, you can always hear the program at onlyagame.org.